always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us again for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me there from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, my brother in Christ, my good friend, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How are you doing today, Terry?
Doing pretty good, Joel, all things considered. We're sailing along. We're not getting bombed like they are in Israel. I know you're going to be talking about that, so we can go ahead and move on.
Well, I tell you, you know, Israel took a hit last week. We talked about it in show, and I do have some breaking news, and we're going to start off the newscast with it today. One thing I want people, especially that are listening to us in Israel, that are listening to us in Russia, in the Ukraine, in Iran, and in the surrounding areas there in the Middle East, I want you guys to pay a lot of attention today. This show is going to be primarily aimed at you guys, because what's going on over there right now is breaking as we speak. A week ago, as I said, there was a barrage of rockets that were fired at Israel. There were an unbelievable number that actually struck inside Israel for the first time. And it was because the Iron Dome system was not working correctly. And no one else reported it except us here on the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show, that the reason for that is because they had experienced a hacking attack from Palestine that had basically rendered the Iron Dome useless for a few minutes. Now, this has been corrected. Has it been corrected permanently? I don't know. Is it possible it could reoccur? Absolutely, in my opinion. But to date, that is the only time that the system and all of the warning systems inside Israel didn't work properly. So today, or actually last night, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered attacks into Palestine, into Gaza, into the Gaza Strip, in retaliation for what happened last week, and to take out those that were responsible for the attack. They have done that. The Palestinians, or the terrorists, I should say, are not happy, and they're threatening retaliation. But here is the breaking news coming out of Israel. Let's listen to this, and then we'll talk about it.
The Political Security Cabinet convened this evening, Tuesday, to discuss Operation Shield and Arrow and the possibility that the terrorist organizations in the Gaza Strip will launch a significant response to the assassination of three Islamic Jihad leaders overnight. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said at the start of the meeting, "Last night, we embarked on Operation Shield and Arrow. In a joint effort, the IDF and the Shin Bet eliminated the three senior members of the Islamic Jihad organization in the Gaza Strip. These murderers are responsible for firing rockets from Gaza into our territories and directing terrorism from Judea and Samaria against our citizens. On the day the rockets were fired last week, I and the Minister of Defense ordered our forces to prepare an operation to defeat the terrorist leaders, one which has actually amputated the organization's leadership in the Gaza Strip. Our working principle is incisive and clear: whoever harms us will be harmed, and with greater force. Our long arm can reach every terrorist at the time and place of our choosing," Netanyahu said. "We are in the midst of a campaign, and we are prepared for any eventuality. I suggest to our enemies, do not mess with us." During the meeting, National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir demanded that the government continue to carry out target and preemptive strikes against terrorists in Gaza. Shas Chairman M.K. Aryeh Deri and Knesset Foreign Affairs and Security Committee Chairman Yuli Edelstein attended the meeting as observers. The meeting began as the IDF announced that it had struck a group of Islamic Jihad terrorists who were preparing to fire anti-tank missiles at Israel in Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip.
Okay, so this is an ongoing operation as we speak. They are still meeting as well in Israel. This operation is called Shield and Arrow. And the Prime Minister says that Israel is going to stand as one here. And from what I understand, everybody's in support of it, the entire cabinet there. And there are some people. There's some people within that cabinet that don't really get along with the Prime Minister very well, but they're all standing firm. And again, these were airstrikes that were pulled off last night. It was 2 a.m. Israel time that they hit over there. And they have decapitated three terrorists. And so the Iranians, they didn't see this one coming. And they are, their situation over there has been hurt, I'll put it that way. But, you know, they say it's manageable, but every report I'm getting says it's not manageable. They don't, you know, their forces are in disarray right now and don't know what to do. So we're just going to have to monitor it and see what's going on. I'm monitoring the Jerusalem Post here. And yeah, it just says that, you know, senior Palestinian Islamic Jihad officials have been killed, that Israel is still waiting on the Palestinian retaliation. And then what I guess the one thing that bothers me is the U.S. response to all this. The United States has already responded to it. They are saying that they support Israel and that they remain ironclad following the Operation Shield and Arrow. But it says the U.S. is closely following the Israeli airstrikes in Gaza amid Operation Shield and Arrow. This is according to a U.S. embassy spokesperson who reiterated that the U.S. is committed to Israel's security. However, he added, "We are also aware of reports that 10 civilians were tragically killed in the Israeli strikes. We call for all parties to de-escalate the situation to protect non-combatants and prevent any further loss of civilian life." In other words, go ahead and let the Palestinians attack Israel. You know, and when they shoot a rocket, by the way, and this needs to be clear to the world, this isn't my opinion, this is a statement from me as a member of the U.S. Press Association, that when they fire a rocket, they don't care where it comes down, who it hurts, what it destroys, who it kills. They just want to do as much damage as they possibly can. There's no consideration to any civilian losses. On the other hand, I can also report as a member of the U.S. Press Association that this strike was actually held for one full week by Prime Minister Netanyahu to avoid unnecessary civilian casualties. In other words, they took it into consideration. The terrorists don't care. Israel does. But unfortunately, in war, and this is in every war, there is always going to be collateral damage. There's always going to be civilian casualties. And for them to have a grand total of 10 civilians killed while taking care of three terrorists that are responsible for the deaths of hundreds, if not thousands, of people, I believe that is a trade-off that we as a society should be prepared to accept. That part is opinion. Mr. Farley, if you'd like to comment, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm throwing this in because I don't want us to forget it, Joel. We talk about this all the time off air, but from now on, let's try to remember and you're much better at it than I am. When, as an example, you said this bombing took place last night at such and such a time, Israel time, let's start putting that together with this would have been such and such a time here. And if we can just, because you've got that, and we can do that, and that way it's going to help people to come in more into focus in today's reality. You're totally on top of it, you know, but the world doesn't know what you know, and that's part of what we're trying to impart to the world, is what you do know, what you are seeing, what you are recording and reporting. And so I think that would be really helpful. Going back to the other thing in terms of what's going on, it's typical of America with an administration like we've got to turn the thing and spin it so that the blame falls back on Israel. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. We all know the threat Israel is laboring under, and we just pray God's blessings and protection on them, which he has already promised from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, as far as the time thing goes, the best I can remember, I'm not looking at it, so don't quote me on this, okay? I'm not completely up to speed on it. But I believe Israel is 8 hours ahead of us. So you look at, and when I say that, I've even got to be careful there because we have people listening to us all over the world. So, So that would be 8 hours ahead of U.S. Central time. And I'm not a great mathematician. Okay. So
you go. That's good right there.
Yeah,
2 that's good right there. People understand where Israel is first, but they have to understand America isn't first in this situation, but America is second only because we're here. So, all you have to say is Central time or local time and let other people work on that, you know, if they're that interested.
All right.
That was good.
Okay. Now, before we go on, and we've got a lot more to cover besides of this, even though this is a hot topic and, you know, everything from the perspective of prophecy, from the perspective of Scripture, Israel is the center of the world and Jerusalem is the center, period.
Amen.
So we have to look at it there. And that's the reason we're taking up so much time on this. And again, I'm really hoping that all of you in that region over there are paying attention to it. It's all over. If you go to the Jerusalem Post website, they are updating this minute by minute, and I believe that is going to continue. So that would be a good source for you. Once the show is over and you understand what's going on, then you can keep up with things. Terry, it's time for you. So this is going to be the last Christian charge, and that's with Mr. Terry Farley. And Terry, you are up right about now.
Okay, welcome to the last Christian call, engaging the sword today. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, to prepare us for battle. Each day, we daily anticipate Jesus' shout. Why? This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 23. Now let us resume with Psalm 37, verses 10 through 31. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plot against the just and gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. they shall consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives.
Okay, and I've got to cut you off right there, and we'll pick it up in the second half of the show. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that goes along with what we're, as usual.
Yes, it does. Amen. It was written for Israel. So, come on, folks. Yeah. Wake up.
Now, one thing that, you know, you guys don't realize is that it actually costs money to produce these shows. And the one thing that we are doing, we have never charged for anything. We hope that people take our presentations and that someone is that last individual to accept Christ that Terry and I are working so hard to find, because there is going to come a time when time runs out. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's just like in a football game. The last play, when that happens, then the game is over. And that's so right. When the rapture occurs, the game is over for everyone that has not accepted Jesus Christ yet. And all you've got to do is simply ask the Lord for forgiveness of your sins and tell him that you know that Jesus died for you on the cross, that he spent 3 days in a tomb, that he rose again, and he promised us he's coming back for his church before God unleashes 7 years of wrath.
Yes.
And that last individual, when they accept Christ, is going to say, in Jesus' name, and the next face they see is going to be Jesus, surrounded by all of us, Terry, myself, and every Christian, living and dead, right there in the air with them to celebrate that moment and to escape the wrath that's coming. Now, the reason I said that, you know, this costs money is because I'm going to encourage you guys, if you have kids, we are happy to announce a new sponsorship today. Okay? The Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. As a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian online learning program that will keep your kids engaged and learning without worrying about the type of curriculum that they're being presented. All it takes is just a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, or smartphones. You can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net, where you can find free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. We're happy to endorse that. We hope that if you're interested in it, you'll go to the website, again, www.lastchristian.net. Sign up. Only takes you a couple of minutes. Okay, Terry, we're going to get now back into what we need to talk about today.
Yeah, let me throw something.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
And you know what I'm talking about because you know my family on a personal level. But folks, let me recommend homeschooling for you. This is my son Daniel is being graduated from Criswell College with a Bible degree, and he has been homeschooled all the way through, and he's proficient in Hebrew and Greek. My son Sam is preparing to graduate here shortly in the next year or so. He's studying to be a minister. Both of them homeschooled, and we don't regret a moment of it. We'll praise God for it. Please consider that. Thank you, Joel.
Amen. Amen. And I hope people will. You know, Anita and I, we got custody of two of our grandkids the day before the entire world shut down because of COVID. And so that was our instruction into homeschooling. And I can tell you, we didn't do a very good job of that at all. I'll be the first one to admit that.
No, you've got your own challenges. Now, don't do that. I know I'm off stage with you. So, no. Joel has done a magnificent job, both he and his wife. She's absolutely lovely and loves Jesus deeply. And, no, they're doing their best, folks. They've got challenges that I've only feared and been afraid of in many people. So, you're doing great, Joel. Let's rock and roll.
Well, thank you for that, Terry. Now, just a couple of quick items here. There is a standoff to do with the U.S. Debt ceiling. I'm not going to play the report. I'm just going to tell you that the president and the Speaker of the House are finally going to meet about this. But the president still has really no intention of going along with anything that the Republicans are going to do. And the Republicans really have no, well, I don't think they're going to go along with anything the president does. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, we will find out shortly. Also, I don't know if you guys are keeping up with it or not, but there's a lot of mass shootings now. I mean, a lot. Oh, and, man. You know, the thing is that I have refrained from playing these reports for the simple reason that I felt like that, you know, the more you talk about it, the more it's going to happen. You know, that's just mm-hmm. how I deal with that. But mm-hmm. I've come to the realization that this is a plan, in my opinion. This is strictly mm-hmm. my opinion, that this is being mm-hmm. reported to the point that finally the Congress will, under public pressure, bow in. And that guns will be become illegal to be held and that type of thing. And I believe that is going to cause more problems than it solves.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. That is my personal opinion mm-hmm. on this. I believe in the United States Constitution. I think we ought to stick with that. Mm-hmm. Also, there was reports coming out of the UK concerning the coronation over the weekend with King Charles, and most of it was good. I had a report here I was going to play, but I'm not going to now, where there was anti-protests that were involved. There were people against the monarchy. So let's get into what the Ukraine is claiming about Russia. Let's listen to this.
Ukraine's Air Force claimed Saturday to have downed a Russian hypersonic missile over Kyiv using newly acquired American Patriot defense systems, the first known time the country has been able to intercept one of Moscow's most modern missiles.
Air Force Commander Mykolo Leshchik said in a Telegram post that the Kinzhal-type ballistic missile had been intercepted in an overnight attack on the Ukrainian capital earlier in the week. It was also the first time Ukraine is known to have used the Patriot defense systems. Oscar Mays reporting.
Okay, now if you heard the last part of that, this is due to systems that have been provided to the Ukraine by Americans. In other words, we yeah. supplied them with the stuff that brings Russia down, Russian weapons down. I am not sold that they actually brought down one of these hypersonic missiles. I'm not sold on that, but... I mean, it's possible. It's possible. Mm-hmm. But whenever you're talking about hypersonic, in other words, you know, this is something that flies at least at this faster than the speed of sound. That's launched, yeah. you know, where you don't even know it's coming. And I mean, mm-hmm. the speed of sound. That's yeah. hard to catch something like that. So anyway, I am not sold on it yet. You know, we'll see how it goes. But either way, Russia's not going to be happy. Especially with us here in the United States that we're a part of that. You have any comment on that, Terry?
Joel, I couldn't help. You said the speed of sound, that's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to shout and we're out of here. We're gone. We're history, you know? Yeah, it's, you know, and as far as the rest of it goes, you know, again, we don't know. These are the reports we're getting. You know, I pray for America. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one report I am going to play here also out of the Ukraine has to do with the nuclear plant. Let's listen mm-hmm. to this one.
Anxiety about the safety of Europe's largest nuclear power plant grew after the Moscow-installed governor of the Ukrainian region, where it's located, ordered civilian evacuations, including from the city where most of the plant workers live. International Atomic Energy Agency Director General Rafael Grossi has spent months trying to persuade Russian and Ukrainian officials to establish a security zone around the nuclear power plant to prevent the war from causing a radiation leak.
Okay, and according to the Jerusalem Post on this, the situation at this is Europe's largest nuclear power plant in the Ukraine. It says it is deteriorating. This according to the Funk Media Group, and according to Ukraine's state-owned operating company, it's called Energoatom. Russia is bringing more troops and military vehicles to the site of the nuclear plant. the situation of the equipment and personnel, according to them, is deteriorating. And you know, the thing there is, if anybody remembers Three Mile Island, is anybody allowed back in there yet? I can't remember.
I don't know. I just, you know, it's been many years since it happened. But you know what was amazing was a movie came out, Three Mile Island, just a couple of days before it happened.
Yeah.
A Hollywood movie. That's what brings people to the movies is something happens. Oh, that's just a movie, and then it happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, another.
It's like, wait a minute.
Another location that people may be familiar with is Chernobyl in Russia that had the meltdown.
Yes.
And now I do know for a fact that nobody is allowed back in there yet. They go in and they test it every now and then. I think I heard one time where it couldn't be inhabited again for hundreds of years, if not thousands. So, you know, that's just out. And that's what they're worried about happening in the Ukraine right now with this power plant, is that if that was to happen, the plant itself is offline. It's been offline almost since the beginning of the war. But there are Ukrainian people there that are trying to keep it, you know, under control. But now you have people that are leaving. The Russian government has told any civilians that are Russian to get out of there. So that's a leading indicator to me that there may be something coming here rather quickly.
Yeah.
Now, in the second half of the show, we're going to get a little bit. I've got a spotlight report from Simon Marks on the Russian Wagner group, spelled Wagner. He did a two-part presentation, one yesterday and one today. I'm going to play both parts as we open the second half of the show. And then, after we do that, then we're going to get into something that Terry and I really want to talk about, and that's Isaiah 53. Now then, for those of you that are in Israel, I want you to make certain that if you ever listen to a show, this is the one. For the next 1 to 4 shows, we're going to concentrate on something that the Jewish nation needs to hear. It is not being taught. It is in the Torah. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is in the Torah. We are going to show you something in the Old Testament that proves Jesus Christ came to save you, and that in the end, Israel is going to be saved by Jesus Christ. That according to the Bible. That according to the Bible in both the Old and the New Testament. For everybody that is listening to us, wherever you are, hang on for the second half. If you're a radio station you'd like to add us, go to www.lastchristian.net, and you can get the show for your station, and it won't cost you a penny. We'll be back right after the break with the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, joined there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my friend, my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. And Terry, we're not going to waste any more time here. We're going to get right into Isaiah. And then we'll come back to a couple of other things here, like Simon Mark's report there. But I do want to at least get Isaiah started, and I'm going to put it up on screen and hope you can see it. And if so, you can read it for everybody. But anyway, Terry, I think it's important for those that are in Israel and those that are in the Middle East to understand this is not New Testament stuff that we're talking about right now. This is not stuff that was written during the time that Jesus Christ walked the earth. This was written at least, 1,000 years before Jesus showed up? Maybe you know better than I, or you would know better than I. But Isaiah 53:1-3, go ahead. Tell us anything you want to give as far as a preamble on that, and then you could read the scripture.
Okay, what I'm going to be reading, the words I'm reading, they have read these to Jewish people on the streets of Jerusalem, and they've asked them to identify who do you think this is talking about. And people have testified, people that do not believe in Jesus or anything, they've said, oh, that's talking about Jesus. And then they ask the second question, where do you think you find this? And they say, well, that's in the New Testament. It's from Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets. In fact, he was called by many scholars, and has been called and is called by many scholars, the Prince of Prophets.
Amen.
Verse one, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him.
Amen. Now, I don't know, would it be helpful, and we're going to take these verses one at a time. We're going to take our time with them, and we're going to walk through this entire book of the book and chapter. Okay, we're going to walk through this over this show and those that follow it. But Terry, do you think it would be helpful for people to hear, to read the whole thing first, and then us go back and look at verses 1 through 3?
Absolutely. You know,
okay,
sure.
So I'm going to go ahead and put up Isaiah 53:4-6 at this point. And okay. I'll ask that you read that, please.
Okay. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
And then continuing with Isaiah 53, verses 7. Let me get it back up here real quick. Hit the wrong button, and I'm real good at that. Hold on a minute.
It's easy to do. You've got a lot of buttons.
Well, I do, but I don't like to make mistakes like that. Hold on. This is verses 4 through 6. Let's see. I believe we just read that one, so let's go ahead to the next one. Yeah, we'll go ahead to the next one. And this is going to be Isaiah 53:7-9. If I can get it back up. Hold on a second. Yeah. This thing is really driving me crazy today for whatever reason. Okay. All right, go ahead.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
And then finally, Isaiah 53:10-12.
Okay. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Amen. And, you know, I mean, I'm remembering, reading the Bible, the crucifixion, the trial prior to the crucifixion and all that. And then to read Isaiah, it's eye-opening. So, you know, I'm hoping that those of you that are in Israel, that are, those of you that are in the Middle East, that you will pick up your Torah and look at Isaiah 53. I know it's not being taught to you. I know it's not. And there's a reason for that, because they don't want you to read it. It's really simple, okay? But pick it up and read it, and then have the courage to read the New Testament and read the verses and find out compare the two, and remember that what was written 1,000 years or before that, before the crucifixion, before Jesus actually walked the earth, and compare the two and say, oh, wow, now I get it. Okay, so anyway, Terry, we're going to pick up, we're going to get into this in depth with Isaiah 53. And you know what? I am tempted, and in fact, I'm not even going to tell you too much about this Wagner group that I had scheduled on this. Instead, I'm going to play something that I thought I might not play, but it is important because this is Christian persecution, which again brings us to Matthew 24 that we just finished. Let's listen to this real quick.
At least 40 people have been kidnapped by gunmen from a church in a remote village in northern Nigeria. Ajak Mangut reports from Abuja.
The Christian Association of Nigeria in Kaduna State says the attack took place during a Sunday service at a Baptist church in Madela village in Chikun local government area of the state. It, however, says 15 of those kidnapped escaped their captors, while 25 are still in captivity without any word from their abductors. The association says efforts are being made to get in contact with the abductors concerning the remaining worshippers to get them released to their families. Government officials say more than 1,000 people have been killed, nearly 5,000 abducted, and 648 injured in 2022 alone.
Okay, now that is Nigeria. And so, you know, there are going to be people here in the United States and even in the Middle East that don't care, because that's Nigeria. But that's persecution. And, you know, if you're not worried about persecution in Nigeria, then let me tell you something. Get ready. It's going to come to you where you live. Okay. And I'm not just limiting that to the United States, but to anywhere at all. Terry, comments on that?
Yeah. My goodness. You know, the description of that was straight out of Isaiah chapter 53. If you go down the list, despised, rejected of men, those of sorrow, acquainted with grief, all of this. But remember that the sufferings of this present age, the Apostle Paul said, the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to what God has prepared for those who love him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is for a moment. That's all it is for us. And we've got a glorious moment we're looking for on a day that must be called today.
Amen. Okay, one last news item, and then we'll finish the show with Isaiah. And this is something I'm going to tell you guys. This is going to happen. Okay, keep your eyes on the news wherever you are, because there is some breaking news that's going to be coming out of Washington, D.C. Representative Corner urges the DOJ to hold possible Hunter Biden indictment before the Republican Party has an opportunity to present some information. James Comer says that more evidence points to Joe Biden's involvement in a family business, in their family business dealings. I'm going to quote this. My message to the Department of Justice is very loud and clear. Do not indict Hunter Biden before Wednesday. When you have the opportunity to see the evidence that the House Oversight Committee will produce with respect to the web of LLCs, with respect to the number of adversarial countries that this family influence peddled in, and this is not just about the president's son, this is about the entire Biden family, including the President of the United States. So we believe there are a whole lot of tips that the IRS and the DOJ don't know about because we don't believe they've done a whole lot of digging in this, and we have. By all accounts, from the media reports that we're getting, what they're looking at charging Hunter Biden on is a slap on the wrist. It is a drop in the bucket. So Wednesday will be a very big day for the American people in getting the facts presented to them so that they can know the truth, and then the Department of Justice can finally do what they should have done years ago. We're going to present to the American people all the information that we've received thus far pertaining to bank records. We're going to disclose many of the different LLCs, many of the different transactions that all these different Biden family members have gotten from our adversaries around the world. We don't believe this was just a coincidence that all these Biden family members were receiving money from this web of LLC into their personal bag. We believe this was done in exchange for something that then Vice President Biden and now President Biden would have done. So this whistleblower is going to provide some very crucial information to our investigation, and we've given the FBI until May the 10th to produce this document, so the ball is in the FBI's court with respect to this whistleblower. More and more evidence is pointing towards Joe Biden. Obviously, Joe Biden was involved in all this despite the fact that he lied to the American people, despite the fact that his press secretary continues to lie about it. We've already produced one wire from one LLC totaling over $1 million to four different Biden family members. Now we're going to produce an additional five Biden family members, more countries, more LLCs, more bank accounts. This thing is much bigger than anyone would have ever predicted, and it all points toward Joe Biden. I trust him, I have faith in him, and it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him. That's the response from President Biden. So let's wait and see what happens tomorrow. It looks like there could be some really big stuff coming out of there. Okay, yeah. Now then, we're going to get back into Isaiah really quick, and I'm going to put this back up on screen, Terry, and I invite you to read it again, of course, and then we'll go on from there.
Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him.
Okay, now, Terry, you asked that I have some additional scripture ready for this discussion, and I've got it. So all you've got to do is call on it, whichever one that you want, and give me a second to find it, and I will put it up on screen for those people that are watching us in visual form. And again, if you would ever like to see one of our presentations in visual form, all you need to do is go to www.lastchristian.net, and you'll be able to do that. Okay, Terry, what scripture would you like to put up there? And
You can go ahead and just go right down the line. Just start with the first one, and we'll go that way.
Okay, and this one is John 1. And I've got some additional scripture on there from what you requested. But anyway, this is John 1, 46 through 51, and you can read the whole thing or pick it, whatever you want to do.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing, and then I'm going to have you read whatever it is that you have in support. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, who in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Okay. Now, can you, I know that you had a specific scripture in there that pertain to the sure. Isaiah? And just go ahead and let you point out whatever that you'd like to there.
Sure. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What right. they're saying, and this continues with the challenge about, I don't know if we have the verses available, but they're supposed to be the Galilee verses, which they say the same thing. You know, no prophet's going to come out of Galilee. And then I quoted Isaiah, wherever
it's okay. I've got this one, which may be what you're talking about. I'm not sure.
This is it. Therefore, many from the crowd. Yeah. Many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" They didn't know that's where he was born. So there was a division among the people because of him. Now, some said they wanted to take him, but no one laid their hands on him. So what's happening is they're saying there's no such thing. But Isaiah goes back in and says, actually, the Bible teaches there's going to be a great light that comes out of Galilee, and right. that's the prophet. And so they didn't know it. He was born in Bethlehem. He came from Galilee. He's fitting in all of the prophecies that went before him, despised and rejected of men, and so forth and so on.
Okay, and then another one that I have that you had asked for is This is John
7:45-52.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead
and
then
the officers came. Sure. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" And the officers said, "No man ever spoke like this man." It's one of my favorites. Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" And they answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee?" See, they're saying, "Oh man, he's from Galilee. He's nobody. Search and look. No prophet has arisen out of Galilee." And like I said, I don't think, you may have it. If you have that verse, I'll use it. But anyway, but Isaiah says that's exactly where he comes from. It says a great light shall come out of Galilee.
Okay. Let me see. I'm not sure.
Well, I got some of those mixed up, folks. It's not Joel's fault. I got them mixed up. But
it may be this one, Isaiah 9:1-2.
There's it. Yes, this is it. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. That's Israel. There's a promise of hope for her, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, that's where Jesus lives, the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined.
Amen.
So yes, Jesus was from Galilee. Jesus is a prophet, and he was born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
See what I mean, folks? It's all Israel.
Yeah, it is all Israel, and that's the whole thing, and that's the reason I said it's so important for those people that are living over there right now that are listening to this to understand Amen. That, you know, yes, Jesus was foretold in the Old Testament, in your Torah, he is foretold. Amen. And they're not teaching you this because, I don't know why, well, I do, because they don't want you to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, but I'm telling you that that Jesus makes it clear that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And I encourage you to please read your own Torah. Okay, read Isaiah 53, the whole thing. It's there. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not being taught to you, but it is there. Terry, believe it or not, We're getting down to it here, but I do want to give you your time. Okay, I do want to give you your time is promised.
Yeah, I'm ready.
So
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and throw that back here on string here for the second half of The Last Christian Charge with Mr. Terry Farley. Here you go.
Okay, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as he, such be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good. Dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen. And before we go on, I do need to again put this back up on screen again and let you know that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. As a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian online learning program that will keep your kids engaged in learning without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. All it takes is a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, or smartphones. You can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net for free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And we definitely do endorse that 100%.
Amen.
Okay. Now, Terry, we don't have a lot of time left here, but there was one verse or one part of Scripture that we didn't get to yet that I do want to put up on screen here, and this is Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, and I'm going to go ahead and put that up there. I believe this is one that you wanted included.
Okay. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness.
And now you can tie that in however you want to, but let me tell you this. This one hit home with me. I've got a relative that is into going in like a ghost hunter. You know, goes into a house and tries to set up equipment and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he tells me that, you know, oh, I believe in Jesus and I believe in the Bible and all that, but I still do this. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't because, you know, it just tells me, I know how the Bible thinks about it. I've tried everything I can, you know, just kindly as I can, but, you know, I'm not dissuading at all. So anyway. Yeah. I don't know.
But you're doing good because you're trying. And that's because the truth is if he is seeking any truth at all, somewhere down the line, he'll remember that warning and he'll go back and he'll read the Bible or he'll call you and ask you, where's that Bible verse at?
Yeah, yeah.
Because hopefully, God.
Yeah. Hopefully so. All right. Now, we've only touched the first three verses of Isaiah 53, and we're going to continue to do this over the next few shows because this is an important topic. And again, if you are out there in that Middle Eastern region, if you're in Israel, have your friends tune in to the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Wherever you're getting it, I don't care where you're getting the broadcast, have to tune in for each one of the shows, and we'll do our best to walk you through this and make you understand that, yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. Okay, and it's there for you to read. It is there for you to read, and then we'll continue talking about Ezekiel, we'll continue to talk about Isaiah 17. But anyway, make sure that that you tune in for these shows as they continue. I think that you're going to, I know that you're going to get some really good value out of this. And by the way, this section is something that Terry's been wanting to talk about for weeks. Okay, and we're finally here.
So new. All I had to do was mention it, and you lit up like a candle. So,
Well, yeah, I got to admit, I've been looking forward to it too. Okay, but anyway, we are here now, and hopefully that you guys will stick in there with us. Also, keep Israel in your thoughts and prayers right now as they could continue to go through that situation. They are still in an ongoing situation over there. But remember that. The rapture could happen at any time. So we can't even promise you that we'll be back for another show. Hopefully we will be. For those of you that have not accepted Christ yet, we continue to look for that last individual to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. And that's the whole mission here. So please, again, if you're out there in that region, pick up Isaiah 53. Mm. Also, radio stations, if you want to pick us up, carry the Last Christian newscast and radio show, just go to www.lastchristian.net. The information is there on how to hear it. For anybody that wants to see it in visual form, www.lastchristian.net. Until next time, if the Lord gives us one, for all of us, for Terry, myself, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.